Hey, Happy Friday. This week, Samsung has a new tablet with some neat battery tricks. One UI 7 became an absolute disaster, and LG showed off some creepy ad tech for their TVs. Oh, and we're also just a few people away from reaching the 200,000 subscriber milestone, so maybe help us reach that this week. And welcome to the Friday Checkout. This video is sponsored by Insta360. Okay, for my first story of the week, we're talking about Samsung, who has announced new rugged devices with the Galaxy X Cover 7 Pro and the Galaxy Tab Active 5 Pro, and the tablet especially comes with a bunch of really interesting ideas. Of course, both devices are your kind of standard issue, more robust and ready to tumble products as per the series. Beyond the all important military standard durability, they have new mid-range chips via the Snapdragon 8S Gen 3, plus bigger batteries, micro SD slots, headphone jacks, etc. But what's actually interesting is that while the battery of both the smartphone and the tablet can be removed and replaced, the tablet actually has dual hot swappable batteries. That means you can swap out one of the two batteries while the other one keeps your tablet running so you can have uninterrupted work. You get a total of 10,100 mAh, and while I have seen a few other more niche devices do this as well, it's cool to see this tech now coming to a quality Samsung tablet. Other interesting battery tech includes the ability to operate the tablet plugged in without the battery actually attached at all to avoid long-term battery issues, and you also get pogo pins so you can charge the device by just dropping it into a dock. Both devices are obviously pitched at enterprise customers primarily who need to keep mission-critical processes running at all times, but I think quite a few normal people would find these interesting too. And as for prices, the phone will start at 609 euros while the tablet will start at 809 euros with US prices unknown so far. So that's pretty cool, but sadly for Samsung, all the comments under either announcement video of the new devices literally only seem to care about one thing, the delay of One UI 7. So actually, that's going to be my second story of the week, with One UI 7 turning into Samsung's weirdest mess up in years. Samsung phone owners have been waiting impatiently for One UI 7, given that it's one of the biggest updates in a while, with a visual refresh and loads of new features. Places like Android Central have been testing it and calling it Samsung's best software update yet, plus I've tried the beta on the S24 Ultra and found it really nice as well. Anyway, the update, which also brings Android 15 with it, kept getting delayed, to the point where Samsung is now 6 months behind Google Pixel phones. Then they finally started the rollout on the 7th of April, which might have made you say, okay, well, this wasn't fast, but it is a big update, and at least Samsung was probably just really cautious in making sure that everything went smoothly, right? But apparently not, because on the 14th of April, the rollout was paused due to serious bugs being reported, like people not being able to unlock their phones, and also Samsung's secure folder being made unsecure due to a bug. Those are some really serious issues, which is pretty bonkers given that this update was tested for multiple months on multiple devices. We even know that the bug was happening on both Exynos and Snapdragon variants of the phones, and hilariously, Samsung didn't actually admit to anything having gone wrong. They just quietly stopped the update and said that, quote, "The One UI 7 rollout schedule is being updated to ensure the best possible experience. The new timing and availability will be shared shortly." Ah yes, the classic tactic of not admitting to anything. Now to be fair, I think being a few months late is not the end of the world, especially if the update actually ends up being good, which I think most people seem to think that it will be, but yeah, what a botched rollout this has been. Oh, and editing Martin here, I've just seen after I finished recording that the rollout actually resumed for some of the devices with a newer firmware version, plus Sam Mobile somehow also got their hands on the One UI 8 already, and I've left a link to an article below if you want to learn more about that. Overall, a pretty chaotic week. Okay, and for my third story of the week, LG TV's integrated ads are about to get more personalized with tech that analyzes viewers' emotions. And I don't know about you, but I do not want my TVs to analyze my emotions. It's a good thing I don't have a TV. But anyway, LG has licensed tech from a company called Zynapse, which uses AI-powered emotional intelligence and also a technology called a large emotion model, or an LEM. That appears to be a neural network that is trained to figure out what you're watching using LG's own automatic content recognition software, and then it grabs available data about the show or the movie's script and plot and pulls that together to guess how you're feeling at any given time. LG told Stream TV Insider that, quote, "It helps decode the viewer's mindset, what motivates them, what resonates, so brands can deliver more relevant and compelling marketing messages." Which is just wonderful. My recommendation is to keep your TV dumb if possible at all by keeping it offline, and if you can do that, then just use HDMI to show content on it or something. Anyway, as for our release monitor, we start with Honor's new smartphone line called Power, which is most impressive due to having a massive 8,000 mAh battery while still being under 8 mm thin. And this is thanks to a phone battery which has a completely bonkers power density of 821 watt hours per liter, with what else but a silicon anode. That is thinner than most phones from Apple and Samsung and the like, while also having a battery that's almost twice the size of those, so I really think the manufacturers that we get over here really have to start adopting this tech. Next, Nvidia announced the RTX 5060 and the 5060 Ti gaming cards, which are entry-level offerings. They start at $429 for the 16GB model and also $379 for the 8GB model, and they'll be available on the 16th of April. Next, there's a foldable e-reader from China's Readmu, and it's smaller than a paperback with an 8-inch folding e-ink screen that they claim has been tested to survive over 200,000 bends. That is pretty cool, though sadly we don't have any prices or availability just yet. And last in our release monitor, Anker has a new UV printer called the E1. This is a special machine that can supposedly print textured surfaces, for example, like fake wood or fake leather or fake paint textures, and at $1,899, it's supposedly much cheaper than previous competitors. It's only a Kickstarter project for now, and other UV make products in the past have been pretty hit or miss, so I'd be careful with this one, but all the links to all the products are as usual linked down in the description. Okay, and as for our brief, we start with Google, who's just lost part of its EdTech monopoly case. This could be pretty significant and lead to the company being broken up, but Google says that they've won half of this case, and also that they'll appeal the other half, so let's see what actually happens. Meanwhile, also in court is Meta, whose own big trial versus the FTC is going on just now. This trial is looking at whether its mergers with companies like WhatsApp and Instagram were actually anti-competitive. And one funny detail that has already come out of this trial is that Zuck apparently once considered deleting all of your Facebook friends back in 2022. You know, to stop you looking at all the irrelevant content that your actual friends post and to instead get you focused 100% on what the algorithm actually wants to see. Nice! And this week we also saw some real first changes coming to consumers due to the Trump tariffs. First, Anker products on Amazon are now reportedly 18% higher on 127 items so far. Cool. Next, B&H Photo actually removed the pre-order option on 20 Sony lenses, presumably due to tariff uncertainty. Also nice. And weirdly, Sony also hiked the PlayStation 5 price by 25%, but surprisingly, only in Europe, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand, instead of in the US, where the price increases are expected later. Apparently, Sony is now raising the prices in the rest of the world first so that we can eat some of the extra cost of the tariffs, so that the price hike in the US will not be as massive as it would otherwise be, which is great, I guess. We're all paying for the Trump tariffs. Nice! And the more dystopian news, AI-generated music now accounts for 18% of all tracks uploaded to Deezer, and 20,000 AI-generated songs are uploaded daily, which is almost twice the number reported 4 months ago. I actually wouldn't be surprised if the streaming services themselves started making their own AI-generated music, because that would allow them to stop paying, you know, the annoying human artists. And next, Lyft is expanding to Europe after it acquired the taxi app Freenow from BMW and Mercedes-Benz for 175 million euros. They say that together their operations will serve 50 million combined annual riders across the continent. And then a random little fact is that Google Search is going to switch to google.com around the world, so there'll no longer be things like google.co.uk or google.ca, for example. Google says that there should not be any actual changes, but we'll see how this goes. Okay, and to finish up, I recently told you that I went on a trip to Malaysia, but I haven't actually shown you much of it yet, so here are some of my favorite shots from the trip, brought to you by Insta360. I absolutely loved the ultra-dramatic weather in Malaysia, plus of course also all the breathtakingly beautiful marine life that I saw while diving. All of these clips were shot on Insta360's fantastic action camera called the Ace Pro 2, and I have to say, I'm really impressed. I always say that diving is one of the most challenging things to film because you're often something like 20 plus meters below the surface, everything is pretty dark and colors get really weird, but the camera smartly detects the conditions, like the fact that you're diving, and auto-corrects for that situation, plus shooting in low light conditions is exactly one of the core things Insta360 has optimized it for. You can of course see this on the surface too, where low light shots just look way better than I'm used to from an action camera. This is because you get a massive sensor paired with really high quality Leica lenses and two image processing chips, including a 5nm AI chip for next level results. Put all of those things together and the output is just really impressive. You can go up to 8K at 30fps for maximum quality, and the body is really nicely made too. I love that you get a flip-up screen, which makes filming yourself super easy, and the quality of the screen is also really nice, so you can properly see what you're doing even when it is in a case with plenty of sunlight all around. You even get very respectable microphones, which have a massive built-in wind guard for good audio while outdoors. The camera itself is also water resistant up to 12 meters, which is plenty for most adventures. But of course, if you need to go really deep, then you have a really nice dive case as well, which is what I used for all of my underwater shots. In general, this camera is just a pleasure to use and one of my favorite accessories to go on holiday with. And the first 10 people who order with my link in the description will also get a special multi-mount included in their order, which can transform from a really flexible tripod all the way to a grip for low angle shots, or also a super adjustable selfie stick. Really cool stuff. So be sure to use my link in the description when you buy yours, and I'll see you next Friday.